Back at it again.
A little bit of a different look here.
Episode 12 now?
12, yeah. This will be 12.
Let's go. Yeah, for people who are going to watch this, obviously I'm in a different spot than usual this time. We're doing a first ever Zoom episode.
Yeah.
Should be pretty exciting.
You never know. It goes virtual. I was always saying, like, when it came to Zoom, I'm pretty against doing, like, Zoom interviews just because face-to-face is better. But if we ever had a guest that was worth it, then we should definitely... I would definitely be down to do the Zoom.
I would say today's guest is 100% worth it. I'm pretty stoked on this one.
Yeah, I was going to say that once you told me our guest, I was like, all right, yeah, well, let's get it done.
Yeah.
Should
we introduce him?
Yeah, Rylan, you want to take this one over?
Well, this is my homie from back home. I met him in seventh grade in physical education. We sat next to each other on the blacktop. You know, he was into camera stuff. We both had GoPros back then. But without further ado, I'll bring on Mr. JT Clemente.
Can you hear me fine?
Yeah.
Damn.
What up, JT? How are we doing?
I got jitters. I don't feel worthy.
definitely. Yeah. Definitely. This is a big one for us. We're happy to have you. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Yeah, we're definitely excited.
Thanks for having me. This is cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, he's a pretty big-time filmer and editor these days, I'd say. Just working with some pretty big names, pretty tight with Logic, for everyone who knows who that is. But before we kind of dive into all that stuff with what you got going on right now, just kind of per usual, you know, why don't you just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your kind of backstory, your upcoming, stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm JT Clemente. 23 years old from Southern California. Rylan and I grew up in the same hometown, Yucaipa. But yeah, I feel like that was a very formative thing for me. And I don't know if Rylan can attest, but I feel like a lot of that has translated into, you know, how whoever I am nowadays. But, you know, long story short, video became my thing, and that's where we are now. I don't know how deep we got to get into the backstory.
really up to you.
I'm curious. What was Ryland like growing up?
Ryland? Man, you know, first memories of Ryland. We, like you said, on the PE in middle school.
Yep.
Gym shorts, locker room.
Out on the black
top. Bombs. You know, I don't know. He's a little...
You say axe bombs?
Yeah, you guys.
I forgot about those. Those are so funny.
It reminded me of like that era of boys' locker rooms in seventh grade.
Yeah,
and that's like, how and why did we get through that?
Like throwing your homeboy's shoes like three locker rows over. Yes. Like,
yeah, just pulling the clothes through the bottom of the locker,
and then it just reeks in there after too. Oh, yeah. It wasn't even worth it.
It's terrible.
Yeah, like, why do we think that was okay?
No. Yeah, not our problem.
I don't know what a girls' locker room was like at that point, but like, I feel like guys were fucking crazy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'm sure those are two different worlds, the locker rooms. yeah, so, I mean, growing up in Yucaipa, having classes with Rylan, you obviously were always big into filming and making videos and stuff like that. What are kind of some of your earliest memories of, like, what got you into film, and what were kind of your bigger and broader goals back then, just in middle school and high school?
Yeah, I feel like some of my first real exposure to filmmaking, and I didn't really know it at the time. Oh, shit. Like, I have it right here. It's funny. I have the exact VHS camera. It was my dad's.
That's sweet.
This isn't the one. I bought, like, every eBay listing of this exact camera a few months ago. But I found it in our closet, and, like, all of my childhood movies are filmed on this, and, like, you know, me as a baby, me at Legoland, shit like that. And, you know, probably around 10 years old, I found it in our closet, just sitting there collecting dust. And I started making stop motion Lego movies with this thing, you know, like the big ass red record button, press start, move the Lego piece, stop, move the Lego piece, and just like over and over again. And yeah, me doing all the voices with my sister and with my friends. And like, it was just kind of a fun thing that we did at the time. And I never thought much of it. And like throughout the years, I don't know, like if you guys have experience doing this, but just making dumb little home movies with your friends.
Yeah.
Do you remember the little flip cameras? They were this vertical rectangle thing.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
My homie Tyler had one of those. And I remember always enjoying the aspect of being behind the camera more than being in front of it. And whether it be filming ding dong ditching pranks in our neighborhoods or just little skits in our bedrooms, something about being behind it was so exciting to me. And I never thought much of it until probably middle school when Rylan and I met. I came across this guy on YouTube named Devin Supertramp, and he would just make adventure filmmaking videos on a big ass glide cam stabilizer. And just kind of him running around capturing cool things like stunts and nature and scenery. And that's when it kind of somehow sank into me that videography and filmmaking could be a job. And that was kind of a crazy thing to me. And, you know, at that time I had been on, at least where we grew up, the big thing pushed in our schools was STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, like that whole program. There was a pathway that started in the middle school that would eventually lead you into like hopefully getting recruited by a college later down the line. And yeah, you're taking all these classes to prepare you for that. And that's what I was on. And I was like, okay, you know, they're telling you, oh, you're going to get a great job. You'll make a lot of money doing this. Like, it's great for your future. But we're telling this to 12-year-olds who don't even know who the fuck they are. Like, yeah, I don't even know what I like at that point. Most kids don't, yeah, I feel like.
I can't comprehend what STEM is.
And you're getting us to commit to this entire program. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, so I slowly started taking it more serious, and like around seventh grade, I saved up all of my rec league refereeing money from soccer. Like I would make
20 bucks a game.
Yeah. You know,
something
in
like
a weekend, I would take home less than $40, you know, but I saved up all that money, to buy the GoPro Hero 2, and like they're on the 10 now. Like I just shot a whole video on a 10. But like, that's when I really started taking the filmmaking process like a little more seriously, like nothing crazy. I remember buying the first iPod Touch that had a camera on it, the iPod Touch fourth generation, and using that to edit on iMovie on there. But then freshman year of high school comes, and I'm in this engineering program, and something clicks where I'm like, fuck this, I don't really care. So I drop out of the engineering program. I have to like talk with the principal and sign a form to be like, oh, I'm not committed to this anymore.
Oh, dang. Is that intense of a program?
Deal with the repercussions of not being a part of this. This is like weird. They were trying to like talk you out of it.
That's intense, yeah.
But at the time, you're what, 13, 14 as a freshman? It's like, it's not that deep. But yeah, it felt like such a big step, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck. Like,
that's crazy. They would like outplay it that much. Yeah. Like,
it's like you're signing with like a contract for like a NFL team, and then you try to back
exactly
out.
Like I feel like dropping out of college, but you're just like, nah, I just don't want to take this class anymore.
I remember exactly what you're talking about too. I remember they had those programs. I wonder if they still have those.
I'm sure they do. Yeah,
I'm sure they do. And I just hope they're like diversifying that more, because like that was the only thing to really follow coming into at least our high school. Like,
yeah,
that's a whole other discussion. Like the arts are never prioritized, or like anything outside of, you know, just that the basic streamline.
And especially in today's field where like arts is like kind of the mainstream, like what we're doing now is literally like Zoom. Like it, this is technically an art form or part of the arts portion of that, which is definitely overlooked then. And I'm pretty sure you were like one of the first gen when they rolled out that program, right?
The engineering stuff.
Oh, so you were
they were kind of
test
like,
run.
There was like prototype.
Dang. It was rolling out as we were in it, and we were just kind of like figuring it out, and like, doesn't seem like a good thing to do. Maybe have shit rolled out. Yeah. Having kids' futures depend on it, but fuck it.
I got a question kind of bouncing off high school, I guess.
If I'm ranting.
No, I mean, hey, that's the point of a podcast, but what would you say that your goals were back in high school? Like, what do you remember being like your first like goal? You kind of touched on it, or, you know, like what would you...
I feel like, I don't know. you know, I think everyone at that age kind of has that general goal of trying to figure their own shit out and figure out what their goals are.
Yeah.
You know, the obvious things like confidence and
definitely
whatever.
Yeah.
Trying to talk to girls.
But I think I was at least, you know, lucky enough to have some sort of direction as far as, oh, maybe this videography thing could be bigger. So I think, you know, initially it was just like, hey, let's take this somewhere. And I think around that time is when I was really getting into Logic's music too. And that's really where like my first big aspirations and goals kind of stemmed from too. So yeah.
I feel like I distinctly remember kind of going back to that PE thing. I feel like I remember, or like, I remember us talking about you like wanting to film for like an artist or like be someone's like filmer. Like that was your overall big goal was like, and you might've even said like Logic back then. I don't even know.
But yeah, like, probably.
I think I distinctly remember you like, damn. Cause I know looking at you now, like, damn, this kid did it. Like he's doing exactly what he wanted to do when we were back in eighth grade. Like, and that was just, that's so gnarly to me.
It's so rare too, I feel like.
Yeah. That was very cool. You got your goal set that early too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like it, I always kind of compare it to, have you guys ever seen that trail in, I think it's Hawaii. It's one of the Hawaiian islands where it's like, it goes up this crazy mountain and there's a staircase up and it goes through the clouds.
Yeah, stairway to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always kind of compared the pursuit of a career to that where like, you know, the goal, the career at the top, is the peak. And like the navigation to that is the journey and like the trials of trying to make this career happen where like maybe you have this railing the entire time and which is that inkling of whatever's trying to drive you forward. But like sometimes you're in the middle of a cloud and you can't see the goal and where the next step is. And I feel like that's been my experience of trying to make this happen. You know, I have this all-encompassing goal on one hand, but like the path, I don't fucking know how to get there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You guys have experienced it in your own pursuits where like you have some kid or you look up to someone who's doing what you want to do, but there's no way you could replicate that path and you're kind of getting there doing your own shit. And that's for everyone. You know, there's no real way to like have a blueprint for whatever your goals are, especially in the arts, I feel like, but, I don't know. We all come from a different starting point and we're all trying to get somehow branch into the same
end point,
finish line,
right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the biggest thing in life is the journey, right? So obviously you reached your goals in early age, but I just think kind of like the stairway you're talking about metaphorically, it's everyone has their own different journey. And that's something like you can't take away from anybody, right? Even if you're all going for the same goal. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you had a pretty, you know, crazy journey. So you know, you were into filming and stuff like that at an early age, dropped out of the STEM thing, got yelled at by your principal. And then kind of after high school, once you kind of realized, you know, this is something you want to pursue, what were your next steps after you graduated?
Yeah. Well, so I, you know, trying to make it happen. The best advice I ever got was from my now friend, Mike Holland, who was one of Logic's first videographers and works really closely hand in hand with him. I went to one of their documentary screenings I was a fan. And I asked Mike, what can I do to be in a position where I am working closely with an artist, as a videographer, how can I make this a thing, you know? And he told me, which I like still hold to this day, put yourself in a position, have enough work behind your back. So when someone finally is looking at you, you're undeniable. And that's what I was doing throughout high school, you know, shooting every event I could and making an edit just for me. We didn't have a video program really at our school. And I was just documenting and working and honing my craft of editing and telling a story visually. So by the time I'm out of high school, I have some practice in documenting things and telling a story. And so summer after I graduated in 2017, Logic's DJ Rhetoric puts out a tweet that he needs an editor for his vlog. So at the time, like, you know, all the Logic fans are tweeting at him, yo, pick JT. All my homies from back home are tweeting at him. And at the same time, I've sent him like the most articulate email I've ever spent. Like, hey, Rhetoric, I'm JT Clemente. I'm 17-year-old from Yucaipa, California. Love videography. It's just like the pitch that you're like, right. You're trying to
elevator
sell someone
pitch,
and I'm just
yeah.
a fucking kid. And I sent him like links to my work, and eventually he hit me back over email. He's like, hey, it seems like you have a lot of work ethic. And later he told me he saw the tweets and support I had. So it kind of told him like, hey, maybe this guy is like at least a good person to have so many people behind his back, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So I started working as his editor throughout that summer after I graduated and into my freshman year of film school at Cal State Northridge. And with that, that was my first connection. I was living in LA alone, and you know, it was just me and Rhetoric, and I was skipping class, editing these things for him, and eventually started shooting more with him when he was in town, and became his video guy. And through him, he connected me with a lot of people in the city and people within the music industry. And it got to the point where I realized I was doing more on my own outside of class and in school than I was in, you know, just in my studies. And it was kind of holding me back being in class. And I eventually made the decision halfway through my sophomore year to drop out, which was kind of crazy and just like more of a fuck it decision.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this opportunity is not going to be here, but I could always go back to school. And like,
definitely. Yeah. It kind of just sounds like you're making like probably making more or getting better experience and learning more than you would at school anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what it's all about. Like, people were going to school to be in the position I was in to try to get a chance to do shit. You know,
already there. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I wasn't there. Like, I hadn't made a penny off of videography holding a camera up to that point. You know, I was doing all free work and
that's a big jump, especially in LA.
Yeah, absolutely. I like, it was definitely a privilege to have, you know, the freedom to do free work. But I knew it would pay off somehow, you know?
Yeah. Making the connections.
And it did, you know, a month after I dropped out, I made my first like maybe $100, $200 shooting a thing and like just grinding away at little behind the scenes gigs with music artists and things like that. And yeah, after that, you know, me and Rhetoric built a lot of amazing things together and got closer with Logic's team too. And they became my family and were looking out for me and tossing me gigs all across the city. And now I'm kind of at the point where I am now. I feel like I'd not to fast forward through all of it. Like, there was a lot of grinding and things throughout that period, but you know, it's not that interesting, I guess.
Yeah. Were you working with Rhetoric before film school, or is that something that came after you were already taking classes and stuff like that?
Right before film school. So it was the summer after I graduated high school.
Oh, okay. So it was like that. I thought there was a little bit of overlap in between.
No, yeah. It's graduated. I'm working my lifeguard job at the regional park in Yucaipa. I'm like, you know, just working in the hot sun every day and like editing fun videos after work every day.
I remember you made the regional park video, like the secret water slides or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I was just making fun stuff like that on the side because I was still trying to like really hone the craft, because at that point I'd been denied from USC too and UCLA and all the good film schools other than CSUN. And I think I got into two schools and like I had good grades, but just for some reason things didn't work out that way. And I was just hungry, like, fuck this. Like, they're going to regret this. And I'm making videos.
Yeah, those schools are hard to get into anyways, in state too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I felt really confident too. I remember like I filmed me opening up my USC letter. And it just said, like, we regret to inform you. And I was like, no.
That's the worst thing to see.
I'm surprised you didn't make, knowing you, like, in your editing style, you didn't make, like, a compilation of, like, you just shredding open all the letters and just then just shredding them all. And, like, yeah. You just, you know, packing your car and going to, like, L.A. or Northridge or whatever. That'd be pretty
funny.
I mean,
you guys know the feeling. Like, you get that first letter and you're like, fuck. Yeah. Just, I give up. This sucks.
Yeah. That's funny.
Do you remember your first video that, like, popped off? Whether it was in high school or not, like, do you remember? what it was.
I mean, it's all kind of relative because, like, I remember I was looking through, like, my old tweets where I'd post screenshots of these milestones. Like, oh, I got 100 subscribers on YouTube. Oh, we got 100 views today. What? This is crazy. Like, things like that still made me excited. But, like, as far as beyond Yucaipa, like, our hometown was this short film we did every 15 minutes where I documented and kind of wrote this story about this program that our school put on about drunk driving. And we released that, and it's not that good of a video. Like, we shot it throughout the duration of this event at school. So you see, like, all the production behind it, and it's kind of me just running around with the camera capturing it. But we posted it, and it wasn't till, like, I was already a freshman in college that it started to pop off. And I remember it got like 100,000 views in a day when it was only at like 5,000 before. And I was like, what the fuck, this is going viral. And then it was racking up views. And I'm just like sitting here in the middle of like Japanese class in college, like
Japanese.
Yeah. Like, why am I here? I have a video popping off right now.
Yeah. Got 100,000 views right now.
Yeah. And I think it's at like 250,000 now, and I'm not that proud of that video, but it's part of the journey. So I leave it up.
So was there any benefit to film school? Like, what is it actually like? What are you learning about, like, filming and editing? And is there anything you actually took away from your 2.5 years or whatever it was that you still use from film school?
So I don't like to talk shit about it because I think depending on who you are, where, what point of your artistic career you're in, whatever, there's definitely a lot to gain. But at that point, I was only there for a year and a half, my freshman year and one semester of my sophomore year, where there wasn't really time to dive into the real shit. It was the introductory courses.
Okay.
And, you know, I was past that. And that's what I hated about it. So I think, you know, I'm sure there's definitely a lot I could have learned if I would have stayed in, but I definitely wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't just like drop out and actually put my feet on the ground and try to make it happen on my own, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. Like most,
so yeah, it's a very case to case thing. Like, I don't recommend dropping out unless you're like really about it. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot to learn for sure.
Is that something like you had to talk to your parents about? Kind of like, hey, I'm going to drop out of college because there's a lot of potential here. Or was it kind of like, you know, I'm doing it, you know, this is how it's going to be?
It was kind of more that second one, you know, like I'm paying for my own stuff. I still have student loans that I'm deferring because I don't want to touch that. But at a certain point I was like, you know what, I want to be happy, and you know, it might disappoint them or like be embarrassing as a parent to be like, oh, my kid dropped out. But they also knew that I was working towards bigger things, and like the people I was surrounding myself with had a lot of potential. So they were like, you know, not necessarily like supportive, go for it sort of thing. But I just remember I logged in during Christmas break and I dropped all my classes and just said, oh, I'm not going back. And went back out to LA where I was living with my roommates and just didn't go to class. Just started grinding it out.
You told them you weren't going back when you dropped them all, or no?
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, hey, I'm not going back. This is just how it is. And they're like, okay.
Were your roommates film people too?
Yeah, so we all lived in the film dorm our freshman year. Then we eventually moved out and got our own place down the road from the school. And they were all still in school by the time I dropped out.
Does that get like a little competitive? Like, I feel like college, like the film school era, is kind of like that time in everyone's lives where it's like everyone's chomping at each other, right? You got to get the edge. You got to get ahead of someone. So like, how is it like living with film like people? I feel like it'd be almost like they're like turning backs on people, you know, like pretty cutthroat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all artists, and artists are pretentious and assholes, and you know, like everyone thinks they're the best, and you kind of have to be a great artist, but you don't have to necessarily let that affect your relationships with other people. Like, I can be like, I'm the best fucking filmmaker in the world, but I can still talk to another dude and be like, oh, your shit's dope, you know. But my experience was like, there's no room to be a good person to these people because I'm fighting for my life, especially out in LA, you know. I don't know how it is like for you guys who none of you are art majors, but how does that competitive nature feed into your college life? I don't know if it does at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this. I mean, I'm a comm major, so there's not, people aren't super competitive who take that field anyways, but
it probably fits in more to the fraternity life and who can drink more.
Yeah, that and like who gets like how to get girls, I guess, probably. That's probably what most of the competition is. Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of what like art majors are in my experience. You know, it's just nerdy frats, you know. Nerdy frats. But yeah, that's another aspect of it I didn't like too. Like the only people I would have hung out with at my film school, outside of a few, were the people I was living with, you know. They were just cool dudes that we connected with instantly. And outside of that, I'm like, I don't really like the energy here. I love making movies and I love sharing that process with people, but everyone out here is just like in it for, you know, themselves, the accolades that you may eventually get, or just it's an ego thing too. I just didn't enjoy it, and I mean, you'll never escape that either. I still see it within like people on my level in the film world and things like that. But
was there ever like a time where you kind of felt like betrayed, or like someone kind of stabbed you in the back because they thought it was going to help one up them, and that kind of like tarnished the friendship, or was it never that serious?
No, not necessarily. Like I've maintained most of my friendships throughout my life. Like you know, there's a period when I was living in LA and just grinding my ass off. There were periods where I didn't talk to my family for months at a time. And, you know, my friends, of course, like 6 months to a year where I'd have no contact with my friends just because I'm so immersed in like trying to make this thing happen. And, you know, at first some of my friends didn't align with that. And, you know, they saw it as selfish and, you know, it's not being a good friend necessarily, but also you're at a point in your life in your early 20s where you have to work on your own shit, and any good friend will realize that. But it was at a weird point in life where like some friends just didn't understand that, and we're all cool now, but like they cut me off, and like I just separated myself from anyone that didn't want to be on the wavelength that I was on, you know?
Right.
Cause it's a very like selfish pursuit. I'm out here doing this thing for me.
Yeah, you know. I feel like it's definitely kind of hard to have like partnerships in film too, like unless like someone's just doing straight filming and someone's doing all the editing, I guess. But
yeah, which is weird too, because it's such a collaborative art. You know, you can't make a movie with one dude. You have a director, you have a cinematographer, you have everyone behind the scenes trying to make shit happen. Mm-hmm. But like, it's funny when you have these hierarchies and everyone wants to be at a certain level towards the top, and everyone's fighting each other trying to get there. Mm-hmm. You know. Unless you have the people, that's where you need people that are passionate about being these lower levels, like not in the limelight sort of roles. And that's what you find through like just time and connections. You know, you find these people that are passionate about the things that fit into your world. Like, oh, this dude is an amazing gaffer and that's what he wants to be. Like, I want him to be a part of my team, and he doesn't want to fight for my life, you know, to
he's not trying to take my job.
I was gonna say, there's a lot of times like in that field where people who are helping you and getting you to the next step, they're people who are already there and they're not necessarily worried about like their spot or their position, like looking to use competition because they're already there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it is, art is a cool thing now, you know. It's everybody wants to be a creative person, you know, because like that's, there's a lot of power in that, like you're a lot of influence, you know. And I think that fight for that gets to people's heads if you're not in it for the right reason. So, but like those people stand out off the jump, you know, when someone's not genuine with their motives or intentions anyway. You know?
Sure. Right.
So for going back to what you said, you were on this journey for you. I was kind of going through this past week, kind of going through your stuff, you know, kind of refreshing myself. And I saw that you did those 1 minute music videos, and that was like a pretty big you project, wasn't it?
Yeah, just for me. I think I started them more right towards the start of 2020 when things were starting to like just slow down.
Yeah. But you like you wrote them, you shot them, and you were talenting them, right? Like you did everything.
Yeah, I write, shot everything. I'm behind the camera. I'm setting up like motorized cameras, shit, just so it can track me, things like that. Sorry. But at that point, I'd been grinding for so long, working on other people's visions and projects, that I was just like kind of burnt out. And, you know, there was no creative output solely for me. It was kind of that weird thing that I've talked about a little bit before, just about when, your art or your product becomes a commodity. Like whatever your skill is, you're almost like, I hate to say it like this, but you're almost whoring it out to gain more, you know, experience or connections in the world. And you can stay true to your vision, but like, say I'm using my videography and I'm making these videos for like a content creator, and like, I don't give a fuck about what it is they're making, but I am passionate about, you know,
making it
creating things for other people. And I know it'll lead to bigger avenues down the future, but like, I'm not passionate about it personally, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was at that point where I'm grinding it out and, you know, making things for other people other than myself. And it
building your credibility. Yeah.
So like towards the start of 2020, when things started shutting down, I was like, fuck yeah, let's just make things for myself. Not think about it. I don't want it to be deep. I just want to shoot it, edit it, everything, post it the same day. So that's when I was doing that. And it was really fun. And I was able to tell some really fun stories and express myself in like actually pretty genuine, deeper ways than I would have expected from a day's worth of work. You know, it was really cool.
So you did those in a day? Those were all like one day shoots?
I think for the most part, yeah. I think number four I did to the song Smiling When I Die by Sasha Sloan. I shot that over like 2 days because I wanted like the match cuts. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but like those match cuts between night and day and things like that. So, but you know, realistically, it was no big production. It's me with my camera running around getting cool shots and trying to tell a story that way.
So what were those 1 minute videos? Like what were you like filming?
They were just like, you know, songs that were inspiring me at the time. And I would just make my own version of the music video for those songs and chop it in a 1 minute segment. So it's just like a fun little story and more of a challenge to myself to what I can do within the confines of a minute to a song that I enjoy, you know?
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty sick.
So was it kind of like you had a person like recreating the music video, or was it a lot of like scenes and like just outdoor shots?
It was all him.
Oh, it was all you?
It was all me. So like, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like the talent in the video where it's just me walking in front of the camera.
Now,
like
are you
doing things like that?
Are you a big talent guy? Cause like obviously in like high school and probably your uprising, like you never were really in front of the camera. You always the kid running around with the glide cam. Like, are you comfortable in front of a camera? Like now that you've been around it so much, are you still like, it's whatever?
I think that's something I'm still trying to get used to a little more. Like I'm a very like low key person in person. Like we're talking a face to face. I'm just like very, I'm low key like that. So, you know, it's the same being in front of the camera. I'm really trying to like, that's my main goal personally a lot recently is trying to like really become a lot more comfortable in, you know, in the spotlight sort of situations, you know, especially as I try to make more of a business and brand out of who I am.
For sure.
I definitely need to.
So for being like a low key person, right? What's it like being at a huge concert and Logic just points at you and goes, fuck you, JT. Like what's
that's
that
crazy.
Like?
Yeah, I mean it's cool. Like I.
That's insane.
Yeah,
there was a video of that somewhere, right?
Yeah, I put that at the end of my film reel. If you've seen that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like me shooting a show on stage and like Bob just in the middle of the show. Fuck you, JT. And there's like 15,000 people in the crowd listening to that. It's cool. But
where
like,
was that at?
That was I think it was San Francisco. I joined them for tour in 2019 on the West Coast.
That's sweet.
But yeah, no, it's, I'm definitely becoming a lot more comfortable with being in front of the camera. Like I even just like this sort of podcast stuff, I was probably not that comfortable doing a year ago, you know?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
So is like fame something you kind of strive for too? Or are you someone like Marshmallow where you're like, I don't want anybody to ever know who I actually am. I just want to like master the craft and do what I'm passionate about.
Nah, not at all. My thing is like, I want my art to be seen and I feel like I have stories that are to be told that I think a lot of people can benefit from. And, you know, that's the only thing that I strive for, like, as far as the eyes on my work, eyes on me. And of course I want people to come to my work for my vision. Like you go to a Christopher Nolan movie cause it's a fucking Christopher Nolan movie. You know, I want that same sort of energy for the stuff I create, you know? I personally could not tell you who directed like half of the biggest blockbusters like Fast and Furious and all that. Like that's just me because that's not my thing. And like I don't think most of the general audiences that consume that sort of work would know that, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. So I want to be that guy, like, oh, this is a JT Clemente film. Like, this can be fucking dope because they, I have this sort of like style or, you know, vision that people at least strive for. And like, I, it doesn't got to be crazy wide scale, but it would be cool, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I see that in the future eventually.
Okay. So it's not necessarily like fame and, you know, paparazzi following you. Yeah. It's more just recognition for your work.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like I have some cool things to put out there. And I think, you know, I'm on the right path to have it seen by a lot of people. And it's a cool feeling, but yeah, it's not something I strive. I don't want to be like celebrity or whatever.
Yeah.
I think,
but, you know. I see in your Instagram bio, at JT Clemente, right?
Yeah.
That it. So I see it says you got your little credits down there and it says Amazon Prime Video, right?
Yeah.
What'd you do to get a credit in a Prime Amazon gig?
It was mid pandemic 2020. This artist Max, he's a pretty big artist. He threw this like big virtual concert at the Hollywood Bowl. No, it was at the Greek Theater in LA. So he threw this big whole production where he recorded an entire hour long live concert set and, nobody was there, but I got taken on as the lead editor for that project. So I'm putting together, you know, it's like very expensive, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably production of this concert going on. And, they throw the concert that one day, film it all, toss me the footage that night. I have it all in a drive and I was up for 72 hours straight to hit their deadline of delivery. So I'm chopping together, you know, 5+ camera angles in a drone of this entire concert set. And eventually that went live on Amazon Prime. They debuted it there.
That's pretty sweet. And
that's cool. Yeah.
So like how big were those files? Cause I mean, obviously a whole concert, like what's the process of getting that footage? Like,
it's terabytes. I mean, they give me a big ass, like, oh shit. Did I just close out Zoom?
No, you're good.
Okay, we're good. Sorry, I clicked on something. Big ass like Lacy drive.
Okay.
With all the footage separated into angles with time codes and things. That's like nice. That. So I sync it all up. But yeah, that was like my first big professional editing gig, which was kind of cool. And to have my name in the credits like that of something so big was dope. And
you also got, I saw Super Duper Kyle, which is Kyle, the singer of I Spy. Yeah. Probably one of the biggest college party songs of our decade. yeah. What, how'd you get that gig and, you know, what was working with him like?
Yeah, that's the homie. I met him through just mutual friends through like through Rhetoric and like Kyle's team and Logic's team are cool. And it was actually, I think it was Logic's bodyguard and head of security, Big Pep. He recommended me to Kyle's team. And I was just spending time in the studio with them and capturing behind the scenes when he was creating an album. And I don't think any of our stuff really ever came out, but I was hanging out with him and like shooting behind the scenes for his music videos, things like that. And yeah, it was just a brief period, like for like a year, I was running around LA hanging out with him and just capturing things for him.
So how often, this is kind of probably a stupid question, how often do they play I Spy in Kyle's team?
I feel like with any of those big artists, like they stay away from.
I'd say they're probably so sick of hearing
as possible. Like, as much as you love that song for doing a lot for you, I feel like you'd grow to like almost that. I would be like, fuck.
I was watching Oliver Tree's podcast. He was on the Logan Paul podcast, and like literally 2 minutes in, Logan Paul goes, "Yo, I was listening to that Life Goes On," and that song.
Oh, I saw a TikTok of that.
Yeah, and he's like, that song sucks. He's like, I hate that song.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I've always wondered if like artists just start hating half of their music because it's played so much. Like if they just like have it on repeat in their house and that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, I imagine it's a cool feeling to walk into a fucking restaurant or a store and your shit is playing, but also
you're not bumping it in the car.
Yeah, I was going to say, after that TikTok when Oliver Tree said, I hate that song. So he was in Boise this last weekend and I went and saw him. And Life Goes On, like that's one of his bigger songs, I'd say. And he didn't play it in like one of the premiere spots. Like he opened with Alien Boy and then he closed with like, you know, kind of his newer stuff. And that one was just kind of like a blimp in like the middle of his set. And cool. Looking back on it, I was kind of like, oh, maybe he does fucking hate it. Like he kind of just... It sounded like, yeah, he kind of blew it off and just played it because he felt like he had to and moved on real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I could kind of see it from an artist's perspective where, like, I have so much other cool shit. Pay attention to this, too. Like, I don't want this to be the only thing you focus on.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of goes for your, like, you know, creating videos. I look back on my old stuff I made in high school. I'm like, damn, this stuff sucks. And I'm sure you're the same way, like the old stuff. It's like, it just, that was you back then, but you're, you know, on a new level now.
Definitely. And like, there's always that temptation of like, oh, I want to make this private or delete it, but I want kids to, you know, the people I looked up to, I saw all their old shit. I want whoever could be potentially inspired by me to see my old shit and see what I'm doing now and see what I'm going to do and be like, oh shit, you know, he wasn't that good.
I mean, I still watch from like time to time. I think it was like a crappy rap video in Spanish.
Oh, that song, Spanish project.
That was like, that was probably the main first video. I was like, damn, I want to edit like that style. Like, that was like so creative, I'm pretty sure. Like, out of the box for like anyone, anything was, or anything anyone was doing at that time, like in high school. I was like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, probably around my senior year of high school is when I really started feeling it. Like, oh, I'm kind of good at this. I'm just have fun with it.
Yeah.
And like, that's where like that confidence in my art really came in. Like, fuck everyone else. I'm going to just have fun with it.
Not definitely. I saw, this is like pretty briefly, I'm a pretty big Casey Neistat fan, as I'm sure you are too, just because his filming is insane. You you got to like hang out with him or film some stuff with him, right?
Yeah, I've spent some time with him. It was right before the pandemic hit, actually. I was doing a lot of stuff with my homie Dan Mace, an amazing filmmaker.
Yeah, he's so cool.
Yeah, so I was running around LA just shooting stuff with him, and just him and Casey are friends, so ended up linking up. Like, we would go to this free running academy called Tempest in LA, where we're just doing parkour. Like, I'm jumping around trampolines with Casey Neistat and Dan Mace. And
what's like, what's that really, like how do you take that in? Like,
I was at a point like creatively where I was still like, I had a lot of imposter syndrome. So I was so shy. Like, what do I talk about with these people? Like,
especially Casey Neistat. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I put these people on a pedestal cause they're fucking amazing what they do. And I look up to them and like, it's almost like, what do they have to take away from me, this fucking 20-year-old at the time, you know, like, what can I really offer to them? And I had that mentality where like, I didn't want to speak up as much and really, but like, it was cool to hang out with them. And I think eventually like we were actually really cool together. And, you know, I've finally grown out of that mentality pretty much everywhere else in my life recently, where I'm here for a reason and my input is valid. And I don't really have as much of a barrier to like express myself or just connect with people that I might see at a higher level, you know, because in reality, like, I'm on the same level as these people. And right. I have to think that
mental
too.
Barrier is kind of gone now where you're kind of just ready.
Yeah. To... It's the same thing. Like when you're trying to approach a girl at a party, like, it's like, oh my gosh, she's beautiful. Like, is she going to reject me? It's the same thing. Like, cause you put them on a pedestal, but like, really you just got to treat it like, hey, it's another person. And
is Casey like, in person, is he like how he is on camera?
Like, man, that. He is the craziest creative I've ever fucking seen.
I just want to know how he does half his shots. Like, they seem like magic. Like, what he does.
Like, I've never seen, like, I know I'm pretty crazy in my process and I'm so like, I'm about it. I need to get this shit done. But I've never seen someone so focused on executing their vision like him. It was the craziest and most surreal experience. Like, we drove up to Big Bear. We started in LA, drove up to Big Bear to snowboard, and we ended the day surfing in Venice Beach, California. Sweet. And just throughout the day, we're shooting videos of the snowboarding and drone shots and shit like that. And this man, like, he will yell at you if you're not getting a shot. Even if you're homies, he'll be like, why the fuck is this drone battery? Why is it not charged? Like, because he's so in the zone. He wants to capture these things. He's not being an asshole. But, like, I see moments like that in myself where I'm so in the zone. I'm like, I don't want to deal with all this external shit that hinders my creative process. And it was really cool to see that. Like, he was never an asshole to me. He was just like, what the fuck? Like, let's get this done. Let's go, go, go. You get the shot. You're going to start here. You're going to go here. And it was really cool. This man's a director. This man is like the most pure,
he's done it all.
Visionary. Like, yeah, this man knows his vision and knows it works. And it was really cool to see and like getting to know him. And he was he's exactly what you would imagine him to be like, you know, in his vlogs. He's a very genuine dude. Just like, you wouldn't know he is who he is if you were just to run into him on the street.
I just don't get how he has all the time to do all the time lapses. Cause that's like that's what crazy. Half his vlogs were. And I'm like, is he like just on the phone? Like waiting he's for the time lapse to end?
I took a few videos. I was in New York last week and like, I was trying to just do a little like vlog montage thing of my experience out there. And I'm like, duh, this is crazy. I don't know how people do this.
Especially in New York. It's like, so go, go, go there. It's like,
yeah,
don't stand and stop and look. Cause you'll get hit.
Like, yeah, you know. Exactly. It's, I really respect and look up to Casey and Dan. They're just some of the wildest creative minds I've ever worked alongside.
Could you can you go a little bit more? What were you in New York for? I don't know if you can dive into that at all.
Working on some stuff with Logic.
Does that have anything to do with the new album he's been teasing on his Instagram?
Maybe.
With all the videos that you've been making?
Yeah.
Dude, what was up with that? What was up with that Nardwuar feature? That was crazy.
Nardwuar is crazy. I don't want to dive too deep into it because, like, there's stuff that we're rolling out that, like, eventually, like, give more context to, sure, to whatever we've been working on. But that was surreal. Like,
Did you set that, like, that video up? How did that feature?
That was Logic. Okay. Logic's, like, homies with Nardwuar.
Did you meet him? Were you able to meet Nardwuar?
No. It was all virtual. But, like, he sent through that video, and we're like, no fucking way. You got the Nardwuar. So we just shot that. And that's what we did to announce the upcoming album, which is dope.
Vinyl Days, right?
Vinyl Days, yeah.
And is it going to be all samples? Because he's like waiting for all the samples to clear.
Yeah, I don't know if you know any of the backstory about the album, but like he's been sampling vinyl and shit like that. And it's really cool.
That's pretty sweet. Because that was that. He's like, JT, hand me an album. And like you hand him some, and he like just goes off on some beat. And I'm like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, you can kind of get a feel for the project for all this, like the TikToks and stuff we've been posting, which has been really fun.
Yeah. So are you a big TikTok guy?
I have a love-hate relationship with it because it's like, I mean, it's no new insight here, but it's really fucking addicting because it knows it's exactly what you want to see.
Yeah.
Yes, dude. I should. If I pulled up my screen time on my phone, it would be way too much.
On TikTok.
Agreed.
But it's cool. I mean, like, there's an avenue for everything. I think it's one of the best promotion tools nowadays.
And isn't it crazy how big of, like, how powerful of a video editor that app is for, like, just anyone, dude, you know?
It's cool. And like you said, anyone can make cool shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys put out your podcast stuff on TikTok or anything.
We're starting to. We're starting to.
We're getting there.
That's cool.
Soon to be.
Yeah. It's the place for that, man. Like, just post a funny clip or an insightful moment and, like, bank up the hashtags and TikTok will put that shit in front of the eyes of people who want to see it. And it's crazy.
Yeah, there's just people who are just famous solely from TikTok. Like, they have no other real skills or talents, but they blew up on TikTok and now they make a bunch of money off sponsorships and they're like celebrities.
And that's a skill in itself. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, I respect that because that's a hustle. That's a grind. Like, I've tried to post consistently and try to really game the system, but it takes a lot of effort to really do that.
It definitely seems like a grind. They're posting like 5 times a day of just like, like half of them are like the stupidest videos, but like they're still posting shit and they're getting views and content. So it's like, all right, making money absolutely at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of goes back to that thing I was saying. It's just like putting as much shit out there. So when eyes eventually do see it, you're undeniable. You know, like, you know, one will eventually pop. It'll maybe like get your podcast to a new level or whatever it is you're trying to push. But yeah, no, TikTok is dope. I really, as much as I hate saying it, like it's a cool platform.
Yeah. So about pushing out content, like you were just saying, I feel like you've always been one to be pretty, I guess, picky or selective with what content you push out.
Yeah.
I feel like you never want, you know, like spamming, like, you know, videos. And obviously, you know, a lot of time and effort goes into your videos. So you can't just, you know, crank them out left and right. But like what, you know, being so pushy on TikTok, what makes your, like, what's your selective process and what you release and what you don't? Because I'm sure you have a ton of stuff in your vault that, you know, no one's seen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, there's projects recently that I haven't put out. Like, I had this whole vlog. I'd never made a vlog before, but like I had this vlog that documented this whole past year of my life. And it like started with me in like the lowest point of my life. I was like post breakup and I was sad and I'm crying. And I'm like, just like kind of my thoughts and things like that. And it eventually transitions to me starting to work with Logic full time and moving out of state and traveling and working on big things. And me learning how to play guitar and things like that. It was just like me documenting this whole year of my life. And I made a whole vlog about it and I'm never going to put it out. Cause I'm like, it's not that good. Even though I spent a year making this thing. But for me, it's just like the first and foremost, it's got to come from a genuine place. It's got to be something I'm passionate about. Cause I feel like art is sort of like your diet where, you know, you're eating McDonald's every night. Sure, it might be good in the present moment and like as far as like trends go and things like that, but like the people that are consuming your work just like can tell what you're putting into it. If I'm eating McDonald's, I'm going to shit terribly the next day. Yeah. If I have terrible motives behind my work, and if it's coming from a place of trying to gain clout or whatever it is, your audience can see that, and they see that in the product that you're putting out. Where if I come in with true intentions, I'm eating healthy, and yeah, I'm making something that I'm truly passionate about, your audience picks up on that subconsciously. You can just feel when something is really coming from a genuine place. That's how I see art anyway. So like I really am super self-conscious and hypercritical about the things I put out, because I want to make sure it's really something I'm passionate about telling and a story that I want to put out there, you know? So that's on top of like just insane standards of quality that I want to reach. Like I want to make sure that I'm constantly leveling up and my work is always transformative in some aspect, you know? I don't want to stagnate in my output and what people get out of my work either.
Right. Well, I mean, too, there's almost like no point in like promoting or sending out stuff like you're not necessarily proud of or something. You're like, that wasn't my best work. It's almost like, yeah, it might blow up. Like, you never know, like that video you were talking about from high school. But if it's not something you can kind of put your own stamp on and be like fully proud of, like there's a reason to be like kind of hypersensitive and like hard on yourself at times, right?
Absolutely. I feel like that goes beyond art and like anything we put out in our lives, you know, like you want to be proud of the things you're putting out there. And if you're not passionate about it, the energy is not going to be there. And it's messy. And I feel like it's, especially if you have an audience behind it, it's disrespectful. And like, you know, people take time out of their days to consume whatever it is you make or put out there. And like, it's disrespectful of other people's time and the people that believe in you. I don't fuck with that, you know. I'm lucky to have people that watch my shit.
What would you say your most proud thing that you have put out or have created, whether it's you've posted or someone else has posted it? What do you think your most proud work is as of today?
Damn. Probably all encompassing my film reel that I put out recently. That just like kind of tells the narrative of me making it happen from the first year I dropped out of school to now, just all the things I've made it happen from kind of diving into the unknown. That's like a very me, that's a JT project, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as like other work that I've put into like music videos, I do mostly music videos. Like the first music video that I ever released, with Rhetoric, called Not the One. That's like, that's me in my bag. That shit is dope. I fucking love that video. Even though we released it like 2 or 3 years ago at this point, I'm still so proud of every part of that video. And then there's another video with one of Logic's artists, Kajo, called In a Week. And that's the same level of like artistry that I'm so fucking proud of that. Like a lot of personal, you know, sort of motives went into that. And the video means a lot to me and the circumstances tied around. I'm super proud of things like that. But yeah, sweet. I'd say like as of now, it's my film reel, because that's just like everything about me.
Do you have anything that maybe like you not necessarily aren't proud of or are proud of, but like you put it out and you're like, damn, like this like kind of like it surprised you, the engagement. It's kind of like going back to that song, like, oh shit, people love this song, but I hate it. Like, have you had any of those?
I don't know. It's funny because it's usually the opposite. The shit that I'm like super passionate about, like, usually won't pop off as much.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, but like there's ones that I'm like, this one's good, but like it'll go crazy, you know? Like,
yeah.
Kind of like that comes to mind.
Kind of building off that, does it like frustrate you when you like get when something like you don't put as much work into like kind of pops off a lot more than something you like probably like invested like 20 hours into or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's like kind of the artist mentality, like, oh, this one means so much to me. But like, you know, it might not connect with a lot of people or just doesn't hit the right amount of eyes. Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of like that Logic video, right? That you did, like that one shot one where it's him rapping it, what, double speed?
Yeah.
That was like, what, one take and what, 3 million views or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's like over 5 to 6. I don't know. What is that now?
Sheesh.
But we shot that the same day as the other video, Dad Bod. Like, we're just running around Logic's house and we're like, fuck it, let's shoot another video right now. One take, less than a minute. It's out of focus, it's shaky, but like it's dope and the energy's cool. but that one popped off, and like obviously like it's Logic, so it's everyone's gonna love it. But it's it's one of those things, like, you know, you can't really control how people perceive or consume your work. Once you put it out there, it's like it's for the world. So sure. You just gotta kind of ensure that you put your most into the process before that, and say you're proud of it by the time it's ready to release, you know.
So yeah, I mean, obviously we've been talking a lot about like Logic, because you know you're working pretty closely with him these days. And then, you know, you started with Rhetoric, you've worked with Kyle, and it was Rhetoric who kind of helped you get to like with Logic's team and stuff. And I'm curious, do you remember like the first time you met Logic, or, you know, like what was the first time he saw your work and was like, wow, your shit's really cool, like I want to, you know, I want to kind of start working with you, or kind of story.
Like bringing you in, I guess.
Well, it's cool. Like, I'm really grateful for our relationship, because we started off more as friends. You know, I was just around their team and circle, and we're just hanging out, and it was cool to just be around them and learning a lot from them by proximity. And by nature, I shoot videos, so I would just shoot things for them now every now and then, you know. And I'm shooting stuff on tour with them just as a homie. I'm coming out and shooting flicks, and they just liked having me around. And I think the first real work we actually did together was that Aquarius 3 music video, and Dad Bod. So yeah, they just had me around, and like, he liked my vision enough. He's like, come fucking do it. And now 2 years later, like, I'm doing it full time with him, and we're making some awesome shit. It's cool.
That's dope. So when, what song? I think it's See You in Space Cowboy, maybe, when he, at the end of the song, he like, this one's for all the homies. Is that including you then, you think?
Yeah, I was there for the creation of that album. But like, yeah, it's like, that's off Bobby Tarantino 3.
Yeah, 3P EP.
He just, that was a fun album. We're all just fucking around in the studio and having fun, and it was just special.
It seems what your guys' like whole crew's vibe is like, you know, just having fun.
Yeah, man. And like, that's why I said, like, we were homies first, and kind of being a part of this circle is like, that's all it's about. You got to be a homie first. You got to hang. And we just so happen to make awesome shit together, you know?
Hell yeah.
As a byproduct of being together and being talented at what we do.
So that's kind of like, that's kind of like how he works, though. It's not necessarily like he sees somebody and reaches out to them. It's like, you know, if you're kind of, he's got to get close with you to almost kind of give you a shot and kind of work with you, because he wants it more like natural and organic and more of like a
relationship. Yeah, in a way. But also, I've seen recently, like, he'll reach out to someone like that's a fan, or just like someone who's ultra talented, like on TikTok, and he'll like reach out to them and, you know, put them on, or give like just,
yeah,
give them a shot,
give them a little comment or something like that, some engagement.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's not one of those artists, like, especially with his status and size, like, he's not any sort of person to put himself above anyone else, you know?
Right.
What about yourself? You got any, like, I mean, you obviously have somewhat of a following, you know, cruising with that squad, but like, do you, what's your engagement like, or what's your, you know, fan base? Are you able to, you know, interact with your, do you have any, you know, big fans of yours?
It's funny, 'cause like, I never realized it until the other night when I like, I had this realization, like, oh shit, there's a lot of eyes on me and what I'm putting out now. Not that I'm shit yet, I'm not really anything, but like, you know, especially with who I work around and just what I've been making, there's a lot of eyes on me, and that kind of, it put me in a real existential space. Like, oh fuck, I'm so used to my progression as an artist, as a person, being kind of linear, where like the more work I put in, the better my product gets, the more eyes I see, whether it be like a few hundred or a few thousand. But now, like, all of a sudden, like, it's kind of this weird exponential curve out of nowhere, like, shit ton of eyes. Like, me and Logic started going hard on his TikTok account a few weeks ago, and we got like 15 million views in 2 weeks and 250,000 followers in that same time period. And I'm like, fuck, this many eyes are on my project. For some reason, I like, does my quality of work have to follow that curve too? 'Cause I'm so used to it doing that. And it was like, I had a crazy anxiety attack. Like, shit, I'm not good enough. Weird imposter syndrome. Like, do I deserve to be here with this many eyes on me, and whatever recognition could come with that. But I had to realize at the end of the day that like, I'm here for a reason, and those videos are getting views because partly of my vision too. So like, it's very much like, okay, I belong here, and I have to realize that.
That's dope that you can realize that. And are you kind of like a big like analytics guy? Will you look into those like analytics and numbers, or not really?
I try not to, but it's exciting sometimes. It's cool to see yourself doing well.
Yeah.
But like all of the very successful people I know that have like seen success in numbers and whatever, try not to focus on that. You know, it's hard to avoid, but it's in your best interest to not get caught up in that. I mean, like, yeah, social media following, like it's fucked up in any sort of capacity, like to be like, oh shit, I don't have this many likes on my post or whatever. Like it's a weird trap to fall into, and like it only scales up, you know, the more
sure
recognition you get. I'm sure you guys feel that pressure too.
Yeah, just, definitely.
Like even if you don't want to, there's always that thing deep down, like, ah, this post, like, why didn't it do well? Like,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, anytime you post on any type of media or on, you know, online for the world to see, you're always going to have second thoughts and hesitations and worries, because even if you're someone who doesn't give like a single fuck what people think about you, that's still going to be there when you're kind of putting stuff out for the world to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And the negative stuff is always going to stand out more. Like, luckily I don't feel that, but like negative can be in the form of no communication, like not as much likes, you know. Sure. I'm going to focus on that rather than the 200 people that like my post. That's cool. Imagine 200 people standing in a field staring at you. Like, that's fucking awesome.
It's kind of fucking scary.
Like, oh, I wanted 500 though. You know, like, yeah, you can focus on the what ifs and what it is not, but it is, you really got to desensitize yourself to, well, you get desensitized to the amount of people that are actually there and support your stuff or support you.
So what's the point in where you not necessarily worry about whether you're good enough or your stuff's good, or, you know, what people like, do you think you've reached that point, or you're still on that road to it? Or like, you know, even people like, you know, Logic and Rhetoric, is Logic at someone who's like, man, if this song doesn't hit, like, fuck, like, you know, do they not like me? Like, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't see that in any of those guys. Just like they're very mature and pure artists at the end of the day, and they're making it because they love it. They're having fun with it. Their friends like it. And I think any good artist, that's what they're doing it for. You know, my friends like it, I like it, that's cool.
For sure.
But like we said, shit like numbers can eventually weigh down on you. Like, oh man, that kind of sucks. It didn't perform as well as it did. Right. It's like, it's a human thing. It's kind of impossible to avoid. But the goal is always to try to step away from that shit and,
yeah,
you know,
definitely,
I think, separate yourself from that.
At the end of the day, I mean, if you're just kind of happy with your work, I think that's kind of all that matters. And obviously you've kind of set yourself up. You're obviously, you know, pretty successful at the moment, working with some big people, getting all that recognition. And I think if you're happy with where you're at, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're in a pretty big spot right now. What are kind of your future goals and plans, not just immediate, but long-term too?
I always say that my like big long-term goal is to see the words "A Film by J.T. Clemente" on the big screen. That's the one milestone. I'm like, that'll be my "I made it" moment. You know, like that will never be it. There's always going to be more I want to do. But like, that's the moment where I'm like, hey, I fucking like, we're doing some shit, you know? But you know, there's a lot of things along the way, and I got to enjoy that. Like, I got to enjoy what I'm doing right now. Cause like high school JT would be like, what the fuck? This is awesome. You know,
but dude, you'd be freaking out in high school.
Yeah. I mean, like think about where you guys are nowadays. And you're talking to 15-year-old versions of yourselves. Like, I'm sure they'd envy you guys. Not to like project that, but I feel like they would be, you know. But it's easy to get caught up like, oh fuck, I'm about to graduate, like what's the next step? I need to get a job after this, I need to have my life in order. But like, you have your life way more in order than you did a month ago, I'm sure you can say confidently, or you're 15 yourself for damn right. Sure, you know,
I like to think so at least.
Yeah, that is like, I think that applies for everyone. It's right. Like, It's really about the moment and trying to squeeze the most out of it and try to enjoy it as much as you can. Not to get corny like that, but like,
yeah,
you know, you really can get caught up in that shit.
Yeah.
Sure.
So kind of just to kind of wrap up here, I know we're just over an hour, I think.
Yep.
If you could just give one piece of advice to people who kind of want to follow similar footsteps to you, or, you know, maybe middle school or high school, want to get into film, what's kind of the one thing you would tell them from your personal experience that they should take?
Like, besides the obvious of hard work and things like that, you know, I think the biggest things are truth and immersion. And like, by that, I mean, you know, be truthful and honest with yourself and what you're creating. And, you know, don't follow these trends. Just make the shit you want to make. The right people will follow you. The right people will get attracted, and you will find the right people on the other side of that, you know.
Right.
Really just be as honest as you can in your expression. And this isn't even art, dude. Like, it's really just follow your path. That's like eventually what's going to lead you down the happiest possible outcome. And then I think immersion is probably like the most important thing too. Like, really, really make yourself familiar with the world you're trying to make happen. Like, with the lifestyle you envision. Like, I wanted to be Logic's videographer from when I was 12 years old. And that's me. In order to get there, I'm immersing myself in this world. What does it take to align myself with this guy's vision? What kind of things do I have to, these values, the,
right,
how I create, you know,
put yourself, what will make in myself position, kind of.
Yeah. And that's like listening to his music. How does he create? What is his vision here? You know, I'm immersing myself in the things that I love, just as far as I'm learning everything about cameras and editing, because I want to make myself as diverse as possible. I'm watching, you know, the things I enjoy and trying to make that, put my own spin on that, and spending all my money on camera gear. And it's immersion. This is your life. And like, you really have to be about it. Like, you can talk about hard work all you want. You can talk about talent, but like, you really have to immerse yourself in this lifestyle that you want to make happen. Or else, like, if you can't envision it, how will you know how to get there? How will you know you're there once you are there? You know?
Right. It's kind of like the, you know, you're always being told to do like the morning affirmations, wake up, like, I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to be successful. Kind of set yourself up and have kind of good, positive, like, mental affirmation to yourself, and put yourself in the right position to make it happen.
Yeah, it's manifestation, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you really have to picture yourself in this place before you're there.
Right.
Damn near.
That's the word I was looking for, manifestation.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's real, though.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
100% believe in that. Like, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. Like, I'd tell myself, I'm doing this, and, like, eventually you'll believe it, and other people will, too.
Damn right you are. Any, just to, before Danger wraps it up, any projects, any work you got coming out soon that we should look for?
Yeah, can't talk about it, but yeah.
Okay, sick.
Dope. Some really exciting things.
Soon or?
Yeah, I'd say soonish. Okay. I don't have a timeline, but right. Like.
Month or so, maybe?
I don't know. To be honest, genuinely don't know.
You never know.
You never know.
Like, I'm doing my work and I'm proud of it. And whatever is up next is fucking awesome, and
oh yeah,
I'm excited for it.
I can't wait to see what you drop, dude. I love watching all your shit.
Hey, I appreciate that. Yeah, like, the next year is some of my favorite work I've ever done, and I'm excited for it.
Cool.
Oh yeah,
sweet.
Yeah,
man,
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you joining us here on the episode 12.
Yeah,
sorry if I talked or rambled a lot.
Oh, no,
that's the point,
good.
Dude.
Yeah, that's the point.
Get it out.
Well, yeah, thanks again for coming on. We're all super excited for you and your career and your future. You know,
hopefully we look back. Hopefully this podcast gets up and be like, damn, episode 12, we had JT Clemente on. And now I'm watching a film by JT Clemente, you know?
We're all going to look back like, oh, shit, we were kids.
Still we're kids.
If only we knew what was coming, right, back then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited for us, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Well, good luck in any future endeavors you guys got going on. And until next time, you never know.